Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I'm super excited this morning to be back on the air at a different time and a different day. As most of you know, the followers of Tough Talk Christian Radio, we used to be on every Thursday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. We have made some changes, and we're excited about that. And what we're doing today is starting the new series of shows every Sunday morning, 7:30 to 8:30 Central Standard Time. Today's show is it's just amazing, folks, how I have a system in place where people just come and register to be a guest on the show. And it always seems as though the Lord puts the right people on the right shows. It's just amazing. I'm always in awe from it, but excited about it as well, so that I can share what other people are doing across the country and around the world to spread the word and to help others from their past experiences as well. So today's show, we have two guests, Alan Kelso and Dr. Richard Ruling, and we're going to talk to them here in a little bit. Alan is my first guest, and Richard is the second guest. And so what I want to talk about real quickly is what's been going on here in my little world. I had the pleasure 3 weeks ago of attending a church, not my home church, but a church that was launched by some pastors that used to be at my home church. And I went there and I wanted to see what it was like. I've never experienced the opening or launch of a new church. And I got to tell you, it was a very proud feeling to feel what I felt to watch two people step out in faith and take the chance, I guess it is called, to change their lifestyle. I mean, when you step out and open up a church, you're giving up your daily job. You're giving up a lot, and you're trusting the Lord so much. So it really made me feel, special to be a part of that. I was really proud of what they did, and I just felt overwhelmed by the process. Now, like I said, I have my home church, and I love the people at my home church. But I just was curious to see if anyone out there has ever been a part of opening a new church and what their feeling was. Did they feel overwhelmed? Were they proud of the people doing what they're doing? Did they even take time out to think about what they gave up in order to step out and do that? So, you know, it kind of reminds me of everyday life. We have to step out and we have to do things that are a little bit uncomfortable. And, you know, without trusting or having faith in the Lord, it's kind of difficult. Now, using myself as an example, I trust the Lord. I have faith. I have all the boxes checked off. But what about when it really happens? What happens when it takes place? What happens when you're in the middle of it? It gets a little weary. I mean, you get tired. You get maybe angry, confused. There's a whole sort of bag of things that take place there. Now, for me, I'm a work in progress, just like the rest of us. I'm trying every day. And so when I see people step out in faith and go to the extreme to open up a church and watch people come in and watch the faces of people when the sermon is given, it's just awesome. So I guess my point is, sometime today and every day, we should take a second out, look around our surroundings, see what's going on, and appreciate what's going on. And just take the eyes off of ourselves and put it on others and just take a look. You will be surprised of how that works. Anyway, if you want to call into the show today, it's real easy. You just dial in 347-989-1363. You can press 1 on your phone if you want to ask a question. You can just dial in and listen by phone. So if you're listening here this morning and you have to head to church, you can just play it on your phone and listen to it in your car. Internet radio has come a long way, so there's no reason why you can't continue to listen. You can always go to toughtalkchristianradio.com and hear previous shows from there as well. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, you can go to toughtalkchristianradio.com and click on Become a Guest, register to be a guest, and fill out the form, and then select the date and a time that best fits your schedule. We're always looking to help spread what you're doing out there to share God's words. So, my name is Tony Gambone. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come right back with my first guest, Alan Kelso, who serves as president of KMI Inc. and KMI Publishing. He has spent more than 25 plus years as a pastor, an evangelist, conference speaker, international guest lecturer, and author. He's got a new book out. He's got a great background, a great past to hear about what he's doing today. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after these here short breaks.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
All right, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. My name is Tony Gambone, and I just made a little note there. We need to change that commercial around a little bit. Wrong day, wrong time. Anyway, if you're listening in, this is the first show of the new day, Sunday morning, 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, and we look forward to you following along with us in the future. As I mentioned, my first guest today is a gentleman by the name of Alan Kelso. He's written a new book, I Will Not Be Defined. It's a true story of transformation, inspiration, suspense, and hope. Now, being an author of a few different books and telling my story in a book, I'm really excited to get Alan up on the show and let you hear a little bit about him. So, Alan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony. It is a pleasure to be here with you. I'm just excited to join you today.
And I'm excited as well. There's a you know, we talked a little bit pre-show, and you mentioned how your story, your new book, tells about your journey from past to present. Always excited to get that out for people because it allows us to know that there is hope for all of us. I mean, I found the Lord at the age of 52, so it's never too late to go in that direction. So what I want to do, Alan, first of all, is start off with a little bit of your background. Where are you calling in from? Where are you from originally?
Well, today I'm calling in from Fort Pierce, Florida. It's down toward the Miami area. My wife and I, Tarina, we live in Jacksonville, Florida, but my original home was in Indiana. I'm a Midwesterner, raised on the farm, and grew up then in my adolescent years in near Indianapolis. But I knew what it was like to really be just a basic individual. I can remember on the farm, we had no running water. We had no electricity. We had no indoor plumbing. So I remember when there was a kerosene, we had kerosene and we had a potbelly stove. So that's kind of where I came from. Today's a little bit different.
Well, so starting way back then, I'm assuming that you're in an environment that was a little bit more secluded than living in the city or just even in the suburbs of the city. So when growing up, were you going to church? Was that something your family brought you to at a young age? Did you find it later? How did you get to that point of life?
You know, in my book, I go through my whole past, but I grew up in the church. In fact, the church that I grew up in was a small church in the southern part of the state of Indiana. My family had been instrumental in donating land to the pastor. The pastor was the member of the family, and he built the church, and it developed and it grew, and that's where I started out at. And then we moved to Indianapolis, where I became got saved at the age of six. I was attending church. We were always in church. You know, we were those kids that we Sunday morning, Sunday night, during the week, continuously, my parents had me in church, and that was just a part of my life. And at the age of six, on a Sunday night, God was taking and brought me down for prayer. I had a severe headache and brought me down for prayer, and the minister asked me, said, "Would you like to receive Jesus Christ into your heart?" And I said, "I sure would." And so I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and he saved me. And that began a journey of through my teenage years, continuing to stay in church, continuing to be involved in church, and preparing. Though I felt a call to the ministry, I was not heading that direction. I was actually had gotten an appointment to the Air Force Academy, was going to go the direction of military, until one night when God called me to ministry, and that transformed my life. From that day, at the age of 17 forward, everything changed.
Okay, so at a young age, 17, a lot of times we're not sure if it's a feeling or instinct or just, I don't know, just a short period in time. So, I mean, it's hard to make up your mind at that point. So when you decided that was your calling, take us down that road, Alan. I mean, I want to talk a little bit, your past you mentioned is talked about in the book. And was your path exactly what you thought it would be when you were 17, moving forward in that direction? How did it go? Explain the ups and downs of that.
Well, you know, at 17, I had an experience at the altar when Jesus called me into ministry. And when that happened, I knew exactly where I was going. I knew exactly what it was that I was supposed to be doing. So I began preaching. I went to a Bible college. I began traveling around. I came to Florida to go to Bible college, traveled around the state doing revivals, and it continued like that for 5 years. And then I decided, you know, I think I'd like to go into pastoring. I just wasn't having the opportunity of being able to be more involved in people's lives. You'd see them get saved, but I wanted to see them be able to mature and to develop. And so I went into pastoring and was thrilled. God blessed so abundantly. It grew. You know, we began to, I just continued to go through life that way. And God was moving special. I ended up going back into evangelistic work for a short time, and then ended up taking a little bitty church and building that church up in a very short time in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And God brought some events into my life that I wasn't planning on. You know, there situations happen sometimes that we have no imagine. We don't have any idea of where it's going to take us, how it came. It really wasn't on our radar, so to say. But as I was building this church and had taken a congregation of about 12 people, and within about 18 months we were running a couple hundred people, I had an opportunity to build a Christian TV station. And I made that decision to move into that arena 24 hours a day. It was live. Within 6 months of purchasing the license, built that station, put it on air, and God was blessing. Just miracles were taking place. Healings were taking place. One of the things that comes to my mind from the very beginning, there was we had billboards all over the city concerning the TV station as it was going to launch. And just as it was going to launch, there was this fellow that saw, and he was deaf, and he he said to himself, he said, you know, I believe when that station goes on air, if I'll turn it on, I believe God's going to heal me and I'm going to hear. And that's exactly what transpired. The very beginning of the station, the first day that we turned on the switch, God began performing miracles and people's lives were being touched. And this young fellow immediately received his hearing. And it just goes on and on and on of testimonies that were coming out of what was happening there at the TV station until and we aired a lot of PTL programming under back in those days. It was Praise the Lord Network with Jim and Tammy Baker at that time. And we did a lot with TBN as well with the Turner Broadcasting Network. And we had a lot of independent ministries that were airing. And it was just God was moving. I mean, we had there were prayer lines that were going on. People were calling in continuously for intercessors to minister to them. And then whenever the scandals took place, everything changed. We were a for-profit station. I had an idea of not being able to compete in business as a for-profit. So we built a for-profit enterprise, but it was preaching the word of God. And whenever PTL happened, all the for-profit people, they weren't certain exactly what was going to take place.
So in today's market, how does it compare what you're doing to then? I mean, did you make the right choice? Did it work out in your favor, or did you have to go back and go to the way you started out?
Well, yeah, those things, you know, God orders our steps. And I firmly believe that. But the question has got to be, what do you do when today God orders trouble? You know, you're on top of your world. Things are taking place, and all of a sudden your world is on top of you. And that's what I deal with in my book, I Will Not Be Defined, because during that time period, all of a sudden, the decision was made that from the investors in the TV station that they wanted to sell. So we sold it. And but it turned out that the people we sold it to, it happened to be one of the largest crime syndicates in the United States at that time, and I ended up becoming knowledgeable of some information that I couldn't get them into a meeting. I was asked by the FBI to record conversations and couldn't. They refused to meet with me. And all of a sudden, they refused to protect me, and I had to transform my life. You know, there are times we go through in life where, like I said a moment ago, we're on top of our world, and all of a sudden the world's on top of us, and then we find ourselves in a total different environment than what we ever dreamed of. I had to take and disappear and reinvent exactly who I was. I had to leave anything to do with the church. I couldn't contact any of my peers. The acquaintances I had throughout college, the ministries that I knew, the people that I knew, the relationships that I had, no, I had to disappear and reinvent who I was. And that's what my book is about, is that, you know, there are times in our life when we have to reinvent who we are. We a lot of times become defined through projects. I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a parent. And then that's who we become defined as. But that's not who we were. So today we're out taking that message saying that you don't have to be defined by the problems that you've gone through, through the calamities that you've happened, the skeletons of your yesterdays, by your lost opportunities, your misfortunes, by physical frailties, by the disappointments, but you can be defined by the unlimited possibilities of God in your life today and tomorrow, and that it begins today for your tomorrow.
Well, I'm a firm believer that every day we are taking steps to create what's coming in the future, whether we recognize it or not. My question to you after hearing this, two-part question. One is you had to really be confused, like I wasn't a drug dealer, I wasn't a crime member, I wasn't any of these things, and all of a sudden now I'm in the middle of this. So fighting your way out of that situation, what was one of the things that you learned? I know, you know, you won't allow your situation to define who you are, but I mean, Did you just wake up one day and have this thought that that was it? Or, I mean, how did you get through that process? That had to be a little bit of a headache.
For 18 years, I lived, if you will, undercover. And by going undercover like that, it changes you. Mentally, you change. Everything changes about you. And eventually what happened to me 18 years later is I said, God spoke to my heart again, and he had told me this 18 years before whenever I had all this had happened. He said, there'll come a day when I'll call you again, and you are to prepare yourself and be ready for that call. And whenever that time came, the attitudes that I had adapted to be able to be prepared to protect myself and my family, I had to make a decision that I will not be defined by those attitudes. I will not be defined by the situation. I will not be defined by anything of my past. I will be defined by who God is. I will be defined by what he has called me to. I will be defined by his ability to work in and through my life, no matter what I've come through. And that's what I began to do. I made that decision. People had continuously been telling me, you need to write a book. You need to tell what's been taking place in your life. As I began to share it with some key people, and I said, you know, I just don't know what to call it. And one day sitting in church, all of a sudden it came to me, I will not be defined. You're not being defined by your yesterdays. No one has to be defined by their yesterdays. I will not be defined by those things. I will be defined by the possibilities of God. And I started thinking back of the messages I used to preach whenever I was a young man, and everything I preached had to do with transformation of your life. You don't have to be defined by your past, by your sins, by your failures, by your calamities, by your troubles, by drug problems, by divorce, by poverty. You don't have to be defined by wealth. You can be defined and should be defined only through the blood of Jesus Christ and him working in your life and who he makes you to be. And that's basically where I went.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, there's a lot of people out there. I always include myself because I'm not anything special compared to anyone else, but we define ourselves by the house we live in, the job title we have. So I'm going to talk about men more than women because, you know, we're the ones with the bigger problems. And then we're taught that we're supposed to be the breadwinner. We're supposed to do this. We're supposed to do that. And then there's that little spot on Sunday where you go to church and you're supposed to do this. And then you're right back into the routine again. So you had to go to a major event in your life. I mean, going undercover, hiding out, being not who you were supposed to be or thought you were supposed to be. And as a man, that has to be a very big struggle. How did you get your way through that without taking it out on your family?
You know, I can't say that there weren't some times later on toward the end of that time where I became short tempered, you know, somewhat, but I never doubted God. You know, a lot of times I felt like I remember Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers, eventually sold into Potiphar's household, put into prison because of accusations that were made against him by Potiphar's wife. And then he eventually comes out to be prime minister, the second most important person in that time period. And this sets the tone there in Egypt to be able to save his family, not just his whole family, but that led to the entire nationality of Israel today. He saved them. Everything that he went through, he kept his focus. And that's what I did all the way through that time period. I stayed focused at the who I knew I was in Christ, but I had to project myself as being someone totally different. But I knew who I was. Events don't, and I this is what I did the entire time. Events, what I go through, the projects that I'm involved in don't define me. They're just jobs. They're things that I do. That's not who I necessarily am. I do things that is not the real me. I mean, I may be a carpenter, but that's not me. That's an occupation. I did radio. I did TV. You do radio. we're Christian ministers. That's our job that we do. It's a project that we go through. It doesn't define who I am. I am, according to the Word of God, Christ in me is the hope of glory. So that means that I become, through Christ Jesus, a hope of bringing the message in every occupation I'm in to this world. I'm sharing Jesus. I am the Jesus that they're going to see through me. And so no matter what I do, I have to be that kind of person. I have to display Christ. And so I always did that, even though I was prepared for, I had to be prepared for a person that might come break into my home that was there to kill me. I had to be prepared to respond to that. But I didn't allow that to define who I was. I knew who I was in Christ. I'm his child. And I think as men and women, that's what we have to do. We don't allow our circumstances to define us. We allow God to define us. And who I am.
And you know, I couldn't agree with you more, but I also believe that's probably our biggest struggle is staying on that path. And thank God that he allows grace because,
amen,
you know, on again, off again, the path is more common than not. So because of our time, you know, we don't get to go as deep as I would really like to. So I want to make people know that they can go to your website, Alan, I'm going to spell it out, AlanKelso.com. You can purchase the book. You can watch some videos. Great website, by the way. And you can understand more from this book how whatever it is that you're going through, whatever part of the desert or storm that you're in right now, it's just an opportunity for you to gain access to being able to serve more later. So it's very important to read this type of stuff so that you don't quit, because we're weak, we're human, and we do give up. And I'm sure, Alan, like yourself, like myself, there's been times where we've given up and we get back on. And that's the beauty of following the Lord, is he'll allow you to step off and on the train as many times as you want. You know, it's just up to you. So what I'd like to do is ask you a question. What is the one thing that people out there that read your book, and I know the subtitle and all that, but what's the one thing that could people tell you that they pull out of that book that helps them?
You know, there's a couple things, really. One of the things that comes out is that people say, you know, as a minister, you share truly the life events you went through. You didn't hold anything back. You tell exactly what it was, the good, the bad, the ugly, and you then take and share how God brings you through that and brought you out. It inspires them to be able to, they say to me, it's inspiring to me that you were able to go through this and come out of that. I can go through that as well, and that you are so honest in telling it your life experiences. And it just inspires. I mean, that's the message they keep coming back to us continuously, is it is inspiring us to what I can also do, and what, no matter where I'm at in my own life, of what I can do. And that's what keeps coming back time and time and time again. And I might just make mention, if people can't spell my name, they can just go to IWillNotBeDefined.com, and it'll take them to this. Everything leads to the same place there. But that's what people bring out. It's the inspirational. It's an inspirational read. It transforms them in their thinking of that. If you can go through this and you can share it as a man of God, a minister, sometimes I think we're put up too high on a pedestal. But to share how you went through it and what you were able to accomplish and come out of it, and I can certainly do that too. And that's the thanks that we get, is thank you for just being so truthful and transparent, because it's inspiring to me.
You know, I put compilation books together. When I wrote my story and I told it, I realized the miracles that have happened in my life. We never realize what's going on in our life until we sit down and write down or look back at it and have that discussion. And here's yourself that was raised on a farm, church all the time, The odds of something like this happening to you, where you had to go undercover, almost live like a secret witness or something, right? They were never in your view. But what I really like about this opportunity, Alan, is that people can follow you and know that you know, there's a lot of troubled people that have done a lot of things in their life that they don't think they can be a part of this world that you and I are in with the Lord. Okay. But you give them the opportunity to understand that it doesn't matter where you come from, what you've done, what you've been through. If you want to, you can keep on stepping towards the place you're supposed to be and just take these, because you can relate to people differently than a lot of pastors now, just because of your background. And people knowing your story will allow them to come forward to you and talk because they feel as though you can relate to them. So I love you being very transparent. I think that it's very important in today's market. And I really feel blessed that you had the opportunity to come on here and share with our guest a little bit about what you've done. And I want them to make sure to go to Alan Kelso, AlanKelso.com. Purchase the book. And I tell people this all the time. I've been doing my research here. If you don't like the book, I want you to call me, okay, at 832-437-8898 and tell me you didn't like it. I'll buy the book back off you. That's how strongly I believe in your book, Alan. So I'm really excited about what you're doing. I'm really glad to be a part of it. And I hope you'll come back and join us in the future.
Oh, I'd be glad to. Thank you so very, very much for having me on. And I would look forward to being back with you in the future. Thank you. It's been an honor.
Let everyone know if they want to shoot you an email. How can they do that?
Sure. Easiest way is to simply go to customerservice@AlanKelso.com. That's it. It will get to me. Just go to customerservice@AlanKelso.com.
Awesome. And if you go to the website, go to the video on demand. It's good stuff. Really good stuff. I feel blessed. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it. And thank you to all your listeners. It's been a joy.
All right. Folks, we're going to take a short break. But before we do that, I want to repeat the website, AlanKelso.com. Check out the book. When we bring people on the show, it's for a reason. We want you to have the opportunity to find out what they're doing to help others. By you purchasing this book and reading the book, it will allow you to help others, even if it's just passing the book along. So once again, Alan Kelso, thank you for your time today. We're going to take a short break and come back with Dr. Richard Rungling. He's a retired physician who taught health science. Now, I know this is a Christian show, right? But if you stay tuned, you're going to see how all this comes together. Okay, so just stay tuned. We'll be right back right after this short break.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Texas Authors, Inc. is the only nonprofit organization that supports and markets Texas authors exclusively. We have created proven programs and events that give an author the extra boost in knowledge and skills to sell their book. Join us at txauthors.com.
All right, welcome back. My name is Tony Gambone, host of Tough Talk Christian Radio. Super excited about my first guest, Alan Kelso. And ultimately, you need to go purchase the book, okay? I will not be defined. My second guest, Dr. Richard Rungling. Now, this is a when I started reading the bio, he's a retired physician who taught health science at Loma Linda University, where he was also responsible for executive health. And I'm reading that and I'm saying, okay, well, this is a Christian radio show. And then I kept reading, right? While there, he attended a cardiology convention and heard Pritkin, I'm not pronouncing it right, tell how his diet got 85% of his patients off of blood pressure medicine. This opened his mind to how God could tell Israel if they obey his law, he would put none of these diseases of the Egyptians on them. And that's Exodus 15:26. So then I started thinking, okay, let me read further. Just as obedience to physical laws brings health, obedience to moral laws, the Ten Commandments, brings happiness. Then I said, okay, let's get Richard up on the show. Richard, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, Tony. Thank you so much. By the way, the word last name is Ruling, like ruler, ruling. Thank you.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Not a problem. I appreciate the opportunity of sharing what I think is a key to health, happiness, and actually salvation as we obey God's laws. He's the one that put the universe and hung the stars in space. They go by laws of gravity, et cetera. And we can do that in our lives, too.
Well, I want to back up just a little bit, Dr. Ruling, and ask you where you're calling in from and where you're from originally.
Okay, I'm calling in from Arizona, where I am living now. I grew up in St. Louis, attended college in Washington, D.C., went to medical school at Loma Linda in California, taught there after I became board certified in internal medicine in the School of Public Health for some years, and have worked emergency rooms, did wellness programs, and believe that the key is what we put in our mouth to how we live health-wise, because that's what makes us. We started it with 6 or 8 pounds, and here we are 160 or 280, and what's made us is what we put into our mouth. So bottom line is choice. God gives us choices, and we can do that with our minds as well, with his word, et cetera.
Awesome. I really believe that what you're saying is so true. What we put in our mouth it really does create what we become, just like the words that come out of our mouth become what we think. And so, one of the difficulties I find is remembering to bring someone with you that can remind you not to put that in your mouth and not allow that to come out of your mouth. So it's a struggle. And if you look around in today's society, it's a very big struggle. So I want to go back to, when you realized this part of Exodus 15:26, when this all came about, how did that take place? I mean, you're just sitting in a convention and you're listening to someone and it just popped into your mind. Had you been going to church a lot prior to that so that you knew the Bible?
I have a very strong Bible background, went to a Bible college, and actually at one point considered becoming a minister, but decided to be a medical missionary, and my plan intent was to go to Africa. I even accepted an opportunity, which is when I took public health, but then the thing didn't work out. Like your previous guests, we have a lot of zigs and zags in life. As you're trying to follow God, it's not a straight line. And so I ended up, when things didn't work out for Africa, the dean of the School of Public Health invited me to take some further training, internal medicine, cardiology, come back and teach. He wanted to have a program of doctor of health, not medical doctors, to write prescriptions. And because actually that's a leading cause of death today. People don't know that, but medical literature supports it. I moved to Washington, D.C. and confronted some senators with that information until one said, you're wasting your time. They own us. Speaking of contributions that drug companies make to senators' reelection campaign, bad situation we have, because if they sell out on that, they'll sell out on anything, and they are. It's just a disaster, in my opinion.
Well, Doc, I have a son that's my youngest is 21, and he is always going with the conspiracy theory, how the medical companies and the drug companies and the government and doing all these things, and I try to put a positive note on it, but you know what, it's a hard argument nowadays to go with, so knowing what and it's more than the average person. Is that what made you come out and, you have a couple books, I believe it's Alpha and Omega, Bible Code, and then there's another one, America is Gone. Which book came first?
The Alpha and Omega Bible Code came first, and it's really would be a good start. It actually has information on quite a range of things that people enjoy. It has mostly five-star reviews on Amazon. And my website has a link to the Amazon. If people have Kindle, they can click that link and buy it on Amazon cheap, $2.99, and ebook-wise. But if they don't do Kindle, they can buy it as a PDF with a couple bonuses there, and also cheap, $1.99. You know, so not a big deal, but opportunity to learn, because it shows prophecies from Daniel and Revelation. And if I have another opportunity with you, I can show five when-then signs that end times are impending, five misunderstood passages that make us think there's going to be a pre-trib rapture, five points in the wedding parables to show what they really do mean, because we misunderstand them as a rapture, etc. So I don't want to go into that right now. That's not why you had me on, but can talk about health. But I believe my richest challenge was not natural remedies and physical health. It's about what God wants to do for us and what's impending in America and the whole world, really. We're facing the end.
So now, had you had health problems that allowed you to wake up to this, or was it just from serving so many people with health problems?
A real revelation came to me as I developed headaches while at the university, and I went to a neurologist who taught medical students and asked him if anything I ate or drank could be the cause of my headaches. He said that would be very rare for my type of headache, and I later learned that he did not know what he was talking about. When I left the university, I went into practice with five other doctors. One was an allergist. People drove hundreds of miles to see this guy. He was very successful, so one day I asked him, how many people with headaches can he help? Oh, he said about 9 out of 10. I said, test me. And he did. I would not have believed that I was allergic to wheat, as in pasta, pastry, whole wheat sandwiches. But when I left them out, no more headaches. And I couldn't see. Usually we think, well, if I eat it and feel bad right away, that's the key. But food allergies work different than that. It's kind of like tobacco. People don't get sick when they smoke. They get sick when they don't smoke. If they try to quit, it's on withdrawal. And your body has built up a tolerance to this poison, whether it's nicotine, caffeine, or food even. And my headaches were on withdrawal. I could take sandwiches 5 days a week to work, Monday through Friday, and feel great. On the weekend, my wife would say, oh, you get bread every day. We're having fresh fruit, other things. Sunday morning was oat waffles, but it wasn't toast. And Mondays were headache for me, but I hadn't been partying. I didn't hate my job. I loved it. So why the headache on Monday mornings, you know, et cetera.
I'm very big on holistic. Actually, we used to produce a show here on Tough Talk Network that was holistic and medical together. I was diagnosed at the age of 19 with Crohn's, and I'm 60 now. And I believe that 4 years ago, the Lord took Crohn's from me. And after being angry that I had it for almost 40 years, I was happy that I got it, just so I learned something. But I've tried everything medically, yeah. And I think that medical is important. There's certain things that have to be done medically, but I also believe that natural foods and diet is really, really important. I'm a witness to that. But most people don't get involved in understanding that, Doc, until it's life-threatening to them. Kind of like the Lord, right? People don't reach out to the Lord unless it's life-threatening.
That's right. So, we think we're in a comfort zone until all of a sudden things change, and then we get serious when we really have to.
Yeah, fear is a funny thing like that. You know, we'll try anything. And that's how I found the Lord. I was going in for my fifth surgery for Crohn's, not supposed to live past 25. You know, I found the Lord just because I thought, if this works, this would be awesome. And then during that process, he showed me a miracle that just almost blew me out of the bed. And so, you know, I was committed for life right then and there. But
since,
go ahead.
Since this is such a Bible program, I wonder if whenever you got a couple minutes, I can share something really strong that shows where we are in the stream of time before end times begin.
Well, let's do it.
Okay.
Come on.
Everybody knows Daniel 9 in the Bible is a 70-week prophecy. 77s is 490 years. It began with a jubilee event in the Bible when Israel was freed from Persia to go back and get their land back and rebuild Jerusalem. But it spans 10 jubilees because jubilees came every 49 years. The 50th year or jubilee was number one of the next sequence. So they were 49 years apart. 490 years is 10 jubilees. But fast forward to the 50th. The jubilee of jubilees was not 34 AD, but 1994 to 95. And the Pope, John Paul, went to the UN General Assembly on the Day of Atonement in 1995. It was in the Bible, Leviticus 25, verse 9, that's when they proclaimed Jubilee, was on the Day of Atonement. And the Pope was there in the UN. And then a 20-year gap, and last year, a different Pope, Francis, was also in the UN, also on the Day of Atonement, with a 20-year gap. And we might wonder why the 20-year gap. But there's another timeline that in the Bible, 2 Peter 3, 8 to 10 says, "Beloved, be not ignorant. 1,000 years is like a day is like 1,000 years. God is not slack. The day of the Lord, which is the end time period, will come." And my point is, if you take the Jubilees and you put them into the 1,000-year timeline that Peter says don't be ignorant of, 490 years is 10 Jubilees, 490 more is 20, and that makes 980 years. There are 20 years left over, and I think they're marked by the papal visits at the end of those 50 jubilees, so that we are indeed ready now to start the end times. And the Peter's word, God is not slack, the Greek word braduno means no tarrying or delay. The end times will be here. I believe after this Pope's jubilee year of mercy that ends in December, I think next year is going to be big, big.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
And so what kind of arguments do you get with that conversation?
No. Yeah. What you, I talked a week and a half ago to a head of a biblical research institute, and he used the very same words that you did. Very interesting. So I don't get many arguments.
Yeah. Yeah. I would think that people would have to do a lot of research before they could even comment.
Yeah.
And I would think that a lot of people aren't deep enough in the Bible to even understand it, myself included. You know, I read the Bible. What fascinates me is how people can gain things out of the Bible. And I think it's, for me, lack of quietness with the Bible to listen better, or maybe I just don't want to hear it. I don't know. But moving forward, what I want to talk about today is the book that you did, America is Gone, The Christian's Guide to Vatican Plan for New World Order via CIA, DHS, and Martial Law. What made you write this book?
Well, I enjoy WorldNetDaily.com a lot. It's the largest Christian organization on the web. And they, you know, they're struggling with how to bring America back, and lots of good people trying to do that. But I really think if we see God's plan in a larger perspective, that we might not, we need to wake up to reality of where it's really headed, and it's not headed good as far as I'm concerned. And I believe that that's prophetic as well, that this nation, one of my points that I could share is where America is in prophecy, because most people don't even see it in the Bible, you know, Bible teachers and so on. But America is the lamb-like beast in Revelation 13, lamb being a symbol of Christ, gentle, peace-loving. That's how America began. But it turns and speaks like a dragon, legislatively making harsh laws, and it brings fire down from heaven as Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and it makes an image to the previous beast. And the image that we're making is the UN, the image beast. And that's the New World Order. That's what we are creating through the United Nations, so that it is what, that's what's going to enslave the world and give the mark of the beast and so on, if you can't buy or sell unless you go along with the system. So we've done that, and America is deep. And these people in Congress are just sold out to that. They've had the Pope come last fall and talk to them. He represents church and state. We're supposed to keep religion out of the state and not support any religion by the state, but we have supported the ambassadors that go to the Vatican, et cetera, and not a good deal, you know, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not pretty out there. It's kind of scary. You can, if you just turn on the TV with the political race, it's probably enough to make you want to hide out for the rest of your life and pretend you're not from here. But that's a whole nother show.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
Just I just don't understand it. And you know, Doc, what do you think about the people to say it's just too deep, it's probably too late, and I don't know what to do to change it?
Well, God bless you. That's a great question, very sincere. I believe people need to start opening the book, the Bible, and it's hard for some to understand that, but for the average person, my ebook on the Alpha and Omega, and let me explain that. In Revelation 1:11, Christ says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last. But in the Bible, if you go to where a word or phrase is first found, it often has a meaning for end times because of this structure of the Bible. Just like the Bible begins with a Garden of Eden, in the end, we get to back to paradise. We crawled into sin, and we're going to crawl out. But in Genesis, there was also widespread destruction with a flood, and we're going to be coming to a widespread destruction soon. But that ebook explains a lot of the prophecies, starting with Daniel 1. The king had a health plan. Daniel was supposed to eat the king's food. Daniel had to beg out, but he wisely did. And I think that's about Obamacare and the health plan, which is really not about health at all. It's about pharmaceuticals. They wrote most of that Obamacare, 20,000 pages. How can anybody understand it, you see? Bad news, basically. But God does have a plan to save us, but it's not what you would intuitively think. And it's not a rapture, okay? We're not going to be snatched out of here. And I can give 5 points of reason why that's not the case, but I don't want to be hijacking your program. I want to take your cues of where you want to go with this.
Well, we have a few minutes left. Let's go through it. I mean, you're passionate about this, and that's what I want to share.
Well, thank you. God bless you. Specifically, they think that Christ wouldn't take us through, if we're his bride, he wouldn't take us through trouble. But that's what God did with Israel in the wilderness. He said to prove what was in their heart, because our hearts are deceitful, desperately wicked, it says in Jeremiah 17. And we're not ready for a rapture. In Revelation 3, it says that we're the last church called Laodicea is wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, why would God want to rapture that to heaven? We got some learning to do, you know? And the overcomers are the one that gets to share his throne. And I see that in the wedding parable of Luke 12:44. He will make us ruler over all that he has. But since my name is ruling, I wanted to understand how that happens. And in under meeting the conditions of the wedding parable, which, by the way, is also in that book, Alpha and Omega Bible Code, the last chapter is on the wedding parables. It explains them. And the wedding parable of Luke says to have your loins girded and your lights burning. Well, you know, if God is going to rapture us out of sleep, do we need to sleep with our lights on and be dressed? No, you know, it's not about that. It's not about a quick rapture. God came to Egypt, and he afflicted Egypt with judgments, which, like Billy Graham said, if God waits much longer, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom. And so God affected Egypt and took Israel to a covenant relationship. And he said, if you'll keep my covenant, you'll be to me a kingdom. And he also later said, I'm married to you. That's Jeremiah 3:14. Well, when did they get married? They married when they made a covenant. God regards a covenant relationship by which we become his kingdom as marriage. And we need to get in that direction. But God is going to afflict Egypt or America. We have a half a dozen parallels to Egypt. They murdered the babies. We murder the unborn. They were the greatest nation then, a breadbasket. They came there in time of famine. We feed lots of countries where our military is the greatest. They had their cattle got disease. We got mad cow disease, et cetera. Okay. So God is going to afflict it, and I believe it's waiting for next spring. And then we need to go to a covenant relationship, which if people understand, and my book has more on it, but that's I've given you some points of similarity between us and Egypt. And the fact that these wedding parables are, by the way, another example of the rule of first use, Alpha and Omega, is the fact that in the wedding parable of Matthew 25, there's a midnight cry. But it goes back. The first midnight cry was in Egypt. When God, the last plague, the firstborn died at midnight. And, there was a great cry from Egypt. So Alpha and Omega Bible code explains some of these things in the wedding parables, and not about a rapture, really.
Hmm. Well, Doc, tell everyone how they can get a hold of you. I know I have a website, richardruling.com, and it's richardruling.com. And they can get their books there. Is there any other contact that you want to give out to them?
I don't mind giving my email. If they have questions about anything, my email is ruling, R-U-H-L-I-N-G, 7, at Juno, J-U-N-O.com. If they have questions, glad to try to help. And God bless you. Nice to talk with you. I know this isn't some of it is more than you might want to chew on right now, but we could talk again if you like, because there are we haven't really given the misunderstandings of why the pre-trib rapture isn't that. But I just gave you a misunderstanding of the wedding parables. But the text, if you read them in Matthew, it sounds like one will be taken, the other left. And by the way, the when the flood came, it took them all away. So being taken a verse later by one in the field is the same idea. And in Luke 17, the last verses, the disciples, they were aware. And Christ's reply was at the end of Luke is where the body is, there will the eagles be gathered. So they're not taken to heaven. They're taken to the dinner of the birds in Revelation 19. Not good.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Really good stuff. And I hope people will reach out to you and connect with you to learn more. And I hope that, is there another book coming out?
Well, you know, I had insomnia this morning thinking about your program. I've got five when then signs for end times, five misunderstood passages about the pre-trib rapture, five wedding parable points to see what they really mean, five points in Daniel to show the little horn that grew out of the Roman Empire is the papacy, and five points about America. All of these will go into a book called maybe Bible Prophecy for Dummies, something, you know, where it's all simple. It's just and it covers Daniel and Revelation and Matthew 24 and 5.
Well, Doc, I hope you come back and join us and share more of that. I know that you are providing plenty of information for people out there that want to learn more. And I love the fact that, you know, you talk about food. You're a doctor, a medical doctor, and you talk about food and the body. We're supposed to treat our body like a temple. I don't know if they had that in mind when they built the McDonald's out there, but you know, it's ongoing, and I am thankful for you coming on and sharing with us and the direction you've taken, because you can connect to a lot of people being in having the title that you have that goes deeper than just what they teach in med school. So we really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you, Tony. My pleasure. And if you send me an email, with your address, I'll send you the DVD that I have on my website. I offer it for about $7.95, but it shows how to reverse most diseases for most people, like blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, et cetera. Thanks.
Awesome. I will do that. Thanks. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Okay folks, we're going to go make sure that you check out Dr. Richard Ruling at richardruling.com. It's richardruling.com. Great stuff on there. I'm loving the Alpha and the Omega Bible code. I'm a big advocate of food matters. So
you have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special